Genesis chapter number 21. Genesis chapter number 21. Thank the Lord for the precious word of God. And the Lord visited Sarah as he had said. I could just preach on that. And I will in just a little bit. And the Lord did unto Sarah as he had spoken. I could preach on that too. For Sarah conceived and bare Abraham a son in his old age, at the set time of which God had spoken to him. And Abraham called the name of his son that was born unto him, whom Sarah bare to him, Isaac. And Abraham circumcised his son, being 8 days old, as God had commanded him. And Abraham was 100 years old when his son Isaac was born unto him. Sarah said, God has made me to laugh, so that all that hear will laugh with me. And she said, who would have said unto Abraham that Sarah should have given children suck? For I have borne him a son in his old age. And the child grew and was weaned. And Abraham made a great feast the same day that Isaac was weaned. Let the church say amen. Amen. Father, I pray you help me. For your glory, I'll do anything. Climb the highest mountain, cross the hottest desert. If it's your glory, it's worth it. Now, Lord, we're here at church. We're here at church tonight. Many of us have long weeks already and longer rest of the week awaiting us. But tonight, we're here for your glory. Help us. Cleanse me of sin. Empty me of self. Fill me with your spirit. Help me be a blessing. Hide me behind the cross of Christ. Bless now the preaching of the word of God in Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen, amen. You may be seated. Thank you so much for standing. We've been traveling our way through the book of Genesis, and we're right, if you would, dealing with the life of Abraham. We've watched him from his meager beginning. We've watched him and his wife leave where they were and go to where God said they were headed. It's amazing when you're in this Christian life, sometimes you know where you are, but you don't know where you're going. But the Christian life is not necessarily knowing everywhere you're going, it's knowing who you're going with. And God led Abraham from the Ur of the Chaldees when he was nobody, when he was drowning in anonymity, and called him out. And when he was nothing, and when he had no children, he called him Abraham, father of the multitude. Think about this. He's got a name whose meaning hasn't taken on its truth until later. That takes faith. You got to believe that where God's taking you is not just about where you are now, but where he's going to take you later. And we've watched Abraham, and he's walking through, and he and Sarah, God made him some promises, and God's told him he's going to fulfill some things, and God has entered a covenant with him, and we've watched him as God says, I'm going to multiply you as the sand of the sea and the stars of the sky. I'm going to bless them that bless you. I'm going to curse them that curse you. And in thee shall all the nations of the earth be blessed. He's 100 years old. When is it going to happen? He stepped outside of the will of God trying to help God. You ever did that? Trying to help God. God's going to give me a child, and I'm going to help God do it. So Hagar and I are going to get together, and Sarah's going to come up with it, and I'm going to get a child by the name of Ishmael, and God will keep his promise. Yeah, but that's not what God was talking about. God's going to give you a child through you and through Sarah, and if God doesn't do it when you want him to do it, you got to learn how to wait on God. Genesis chapter 20, we discussed the whole chapter, and we called it, you should have learned it the last time. Because he made a mistake in chapter 20 that he had made before. You ever done that? You ever made the same mistake twice? How about 5, 10, 15, 20 times? How about you stop counting? Aren't you thankful for God's mercy? He failed in chapter number 20. And as a matter of fact, not only did he fail, he potentially caused somebody else to stumble. And God used a lost man who didn't know God to rebuke a saved man about what a saved man should have been rebuking a lost man about. We end in chapter number 20 with the restoration of Abraham. And we see him and Abimelech getting things right. And I told you last week the repentance of Abraham is implied. Although the language is not mentioned there in the passage of scripture, we understand and believe that Abraham got it right. Abimelech restored the wife back to him, and Abraham asked forgiveness for what he did, and he ended the chapter praying for Abimelech, and God heard Abraham's prayer. That's why we know that Abraham got right, because God doesn't hear us when we regard iniquity in our hearts. Now in chapter 21, this is a good chapter. I've entitled this, Your Due Date Is Here. Your due date is here. Now listen now. Most women, they go to the doctor, find out they're pregnant, and the doctor gives you a due date. Depending on how far along you are, it's roughly about 9 months from when you conceive until you will bear a child. And as you get closer and closer to that due date, it couldn't come soon enough. Somebody say amen. You can't sleep. You can't rest. You're not comfortable. You're in pain. You're ready for that baby to come. Now, I'm going to tell you something. God had promised Sarah that she was going to have a child. She'd been waiting. She stepped outside of God's will because she didn't want to wait long enough. And yet she's waiting and waiting and waiting and waiting and waiting and trusting and believing. And now in Genesis chapter 21, that day has finally arrived. There's a miraculous conception. I want you to look at the first verse of Genesis 21. And I get excited when I read things like this. And the Lord visited Sarah. Somebody say amen. I mean, we've had a lot of visitors here at Crossroads Baptist Church over the years. And just about every service, somebody's visiting Crossroads Baptist Church. Especially during this time of the year with a lot of school groups. Between April and May, you may get 50, 60 different school groups that visit Crossroads Baptist Church. And by the way, we're honored when anybody visits this place. Amen. But I want to tell you something. You'll never get a better visitor than God. And the Lord visited Sarah. He came to see her. He showed up. And I love the statement. As he had said. How many of you know that God says what he said, does what he says he's going to do? He visited Sarah. He had promised her. Remember, at first she laughed in disbelief. And then God corrected her, reminded her, there is nothing too hard for God. I am going to come back. You will conceive. You will have a son. His name will be Isaac. And now in Genesis 21, years later, perhaps they had doubted. Perhaps they had been discouraged. Perhaps they had been dismayed. But God showed up. Now somebody in the building is waiting on God. Tonight. You better learn it now, young people. Songwriter said he may not come when you want him, but he'll be there right on time. He visited her, as he said, I want you to think tonight. Has God ever shown up in your life just in time? The favorable presence of God. The favorable presence of God. The Lord visited Sarah. And I'm not just talking about stop by her house to say hi. I'm talking about the Lord showed up for the reason he said he was going to show up. The favorable presence of God. Notice the fulfilled promise of God. And the Lord did unto Sarah as he had spoken. For Sarah conceived and bare Abraham a son in his old age. This is a miracle. Are you hearing me? This is a miracle. There's a 100-year-old man, a 90-year-old woman. I said, this is a miracle. God showed up. And he did what he said. I'm telling you, sometimes we're looking for some deep, theological, challenging, hard to receive, difficult to grasp truth to encourage us. I don't have anything deep for you tonight, but what I will tell you is this. If God made a promise, he's going to keep it. Faithful is he who promised. You can have confidence that what he said, he will come through on. And the Bible says, she visited her. She bore a son just like God said. And by the way, in 2018, in a different dispensation with a completed word of God, I want you to know that God still does miracles. Some of you in here tonight, you got tired of waiting. You know what God told you. You know what God said. Yet it seems like he's taking a while. The favorable presence was that the Lord visited. The fulfilled promise is that she conceived just as God said. But the faithful punctuality is it happened at the set time. Amen. Watch this now. Don't you ever think that God has lost track of time. Now you're saying amen, but you need to say amen when you leave here and you're not in church. Because we're good for looking at our watch like God left his at home. God, do you really realize, do you know what time it is? God, do you know what I'm going through? I mean, you get to the end of the month and you wonder if God knows what day it is. You get to the first of the month and you feel like sending God a reminder. Come on. You start looking outside and you start wondering, God, when is it coming? You start looking on that prayer list and you think, I've been praying, and God, when are you going to answer? You start looking at those around you. They seem like they're getting their answers, and you wonder if God forgot to put yours in the hat. You wonder if God has lost track. Could I tell you, every step of the way in the life of Abraham and Sarah, God was working, God was grooming, God was maturing, God was developing. He knew when he needed to show up. He knew when he needed to come through, and just in time, he did. Do you think he has better time than you do? What a God who has a miraculous conception. I want you to think about all that they had been through. All that they had waited on. All that they had prayed. Remember Lot. Remember Sodom. Remember Abimelech. Remember Hagar. Remember Ishmael. Years later. Wondering, is God going to keep his promise? Yes, he is. There's a favorable presence. There's a fulfilled promise. There's faithful punctuality. There's a full picture here. Isaac is a picture of the new birth. Amen. You read the book of Galatians and Paul gives us a great comparison of Ishmael and Isaac. Ishmael represents the flesh, and Isaac represents the spirit. Amen. Ishmael represents what we do in our own strength. Isaac represents what we can only do through God's strength. Come on now. And all of us have some Ishmael circumstances in our life that we tried to work out, that we tried to manufacture, that we tried to drum up, and they never work out right. But when God comes through, when he does what only he can do, when he does what we know we cannot do, my friend, it's a great picture. And by the way, when Isaac was born, Isaac was a miracle that God produced through a man in a woman that could not have been done outside of God. And by the way, when God reached down in the miry clay and saved your soul, God did a miracle you could not do by yourself. Not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy, saved us by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost. For by grace are you saved through faith, and not of yourself. It is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. And by the way, Abraham represents faith. Sarah represents grace. And when faith and grace come together, salvation takes place. Thank God for this baby boy that was born to two parents that couldn't do it without God. But thank God for this baby boy that was born into the family of God by grace. Thank his holy name. Don't you forget, every day when you flirt around with depression, that God saved you. It took a miracle to put the stars in space. It took a miracle to put the moon in space. But I tell you, when he saved my soul and when he made me whole, it took a miracle of love and grace. Thank God for all the blessings of God. But don't you get over the fact that God reached down into the miry clay and took your sin sick soul out of nonsense and set your feet on a rock and established your going and put a new song in your mouth. You don't get a raise. You don't get a new job. You don't get a clean bill of health. If nobody shakes your hand with $50 in it, you ought to be able to praise him tonight, because you once were lost. You're now found. You once was blind. You now can see. And God did it all by himself. What a God. It's a miracle conception. Now notice beyond there. There was not only a miracle, miraculous conception, but beyond there, there was a meaningful compliance. And Abraham called the name of his son Isaac. Now, you say compliance. No, here's what I'm saying. When God showed up at the right time to that woman he'd made a promise to, and that man he'd made a promise to, and gave them that baby boy, like he promised, God did his part. Now, since God did his part, don't you think it only makes sense for Abraham to do his part? I mean, if God orchestrated the phenomenon, then Abraham should obey the precept. Did you hear me? If God orchestrates the phenomenon, then the child of God ought to obey the precept. Now, I'm going to tell you, God is never the holdup. But there are plenty of times he's held up his end of the bargain, and we didn't. What's the first step of obedience? First step of obedience is this particular calling for this boy. What are you going to name him? Isaac. Now, it wouldn't have been surprising for two excited old parents to get happy over that baby and just name him what they wanted. After all, it's been years since God made the promise. It's been years since he told them what to name them. Oh, we're so happy. Yeah, we said Isaac for a while, but now that we've been thinking about it, we got a better name for him. Be careful when there's a distance between what God told you to do and when God answers your prayer. Be careful that the distance between those two extremes doesn't cause you to forget what he told you to do. I don't care how long he takes to answer your prayer. When he does, obey his precept. We're going to call his name what God said his name should be. Genesis chapter 17, his name is to be Isaac. That name means laughter. They gave him a very particular calling. And then I want you to notice, beyond that particular calling, there was a painful circumcision. Abraham circumcised his son Isaac, being 8 days old, as God had commanded him. You remember, Abraham had proved his love for God and obedience in his old age, getting circumcised himself. And now he's got a son. And of course, the circumcision was a seal. It was a sign of God's ownership. It was a distinction. It was a separation. It was a sign that God's people were to identify with, which was to separate them from the world. God's people have always been meant to be different than the world. Somebody say amen. Amen. Of course, our circumcision today is not a physical one, it's a spiritual one. Amen. God has cut the sins away from our life and made us clean. But in those days, those Jews were to be circumcised. And I won't tell you this was not an easy thing for a father to do to a son. But I won't tell you, you got to understand, you can't just enjoy the blessings of God and disregard, amen, the commands of God. Sometimes obedience is painful, and he had to cut. There was blood. There was a cost associated with this obedience. Some Christians are fine with obedience as long as it doesn't cost. I'll go as long as it's not far. I'll pay as long as it's not much. I'll do as long as it's not difficult. I'll say it as long as I'm not ridiculed. I'll be it as long as it's convenient. I won't tell you, circumcising that baby boy on the eighth day wasn't convenient. Notice the patient commitment. 100 years old. When his son Isaac was born. I wonder how many people used to walk by Abraham laughing at him. How you got a name that means father of multitude and you only got one son, and the one you got by going away from what God said to? The world specializes in laughing at who we say we are. You serve God long enough, there'll be somebody trying to test you on who you are. You call yourself a Christian, why are you suffering? You call yourself a child of God, why are you struggling? You say your father is rich, why aren't you? Come on. You call yourself a patient of the great physician, why do you have cancer? Don't you doubt God when the haters talk. Don't you doubt God when the critics talk. Don't you doubt God when the skeptics talk. After all, they don't know better. They haven't seen him like we've seen him. They haven't known him like you. You say, why did Abraham keep on pressing on? Because he knew that when he was nobody in the Ur of the Chaldees, it wasn't those critics that found him. It was God that found him. By the way, when they start doubting you and questioning you, and that old flesh makes you start believing what they start saying, you travel down memory lane. Remember where God brought you from. Remember what God took you through. And remember where God's taking you to. Amen. He's been faithful. Patient commitment. He's 100 years old. Whew. I'll tell you why he obeyed. Because for all that time he waited on God. God didn't let him down. Whew. Many of us have watched God defy our timetable.
That's right.
God, if I were you, I would have done it then. God, if I were you, I would do it this way. I won't tell you, when Abraham heard that baby boy crying, and when he heard Sarah rejoicing, I guarantee you, it was a confirmation, a solidification, amen, an articulation and an enunciation that God had been faithful. And by the way, that's why you need some long time patient waiting promises of God fulfilled in your life, because what it does is cement your faith even stronger, take your roots even deeper. And the next time the devil comes with some of that nonsense, you can tell him to go somewhere. God came through last time and he'll do it again. See, if you tap out early, waiting on God and seeing him come through increases your faith. Tapping out early before God does come through, that decreases your faith. You listening to me? Some Christians are great starters and poor finishers. They jump in everything. They are the ones, when you put a sign-up sheet out in the foyer, they're the first ones on it. And by the time the event happens, they're not there. They are happy with the beginning of things. They get excited about new stuff. We're going to go somewhere. We're going to have something. We're going to celebrate something. There's going to be a retreat. There's going to be a conference. There's going to be a trip. There's going to be something. First name on the list. But you know why they're the first name on the list? Because it requires no commitment to sign up. I'm trying to belittle you. But the Lord Jesus Christ had more love than any man that's ever graced planet Earth. And he never flipped out over vocal commitments. Lord, I'll follow you wherever you go. Can you hear Jesus jumping up, clicking his heels? Woo! I got a follower. Nope. That's not what he said. Foxes have holes. Birds have nests. The Son of Man have no man to lay his head. I'm happy that you're signing up for the Lord Jesus Christ discipleship class. But I'm trying to warn you before you jump in this thing. There'll be some times at night we don't know where we're sleeping. The foxes have better accommodations than you do. In other words, don't join this group for the perks, because from the outside, it doesn't look like there are many. You better follow me not for what I give you, but follow me for me. He fed 5,000, and then he looked at all of them and said, you eat this bread, you'll die like your fathers did, but you eat of this. He left. Then he looked at the 12 and grabbed him and said, please, please, I just lost 5,000. Don't you leave me. No, he didn't. Will you also go away? He looked at his only 12 and said, y'all leaving too? Because if all you want is catfish and cornbread, hit the road, Jack. That's superficial Christianity. Amen. That's Christmas and Easter church attendance. That's people that testify after a big blessing. That's shouters after they had a good week at work. Amen. That's tax return people that tithe then and don't tithe any other. Come on, help me preach. I'm trying to tell you, they're emotional Christians. They're fair weather Christians. They're happy in church. You see some people shouting, you know, they must have had a good week because they don't never shout. And then there are some people that have a rough week, but when they land in church based on the mercy of God, they don't need money. They don't need a special blessing. They don't need a favor. They just need to be alive, still saved, still heaven bound, still Holy Ghost can dwell, and the redeemed of the Lord can say so. You're going to run into some spots in the Christian life where it doesn't go the way you want it. But you better obey anyway. Thirdly, I'll close here tonight. There was a miraculous conception. There was a meaningful compliance. There was a motivated celebration. Look at Sarah. She started off. She done come a long way, hadn't she? Old Sarai, now Sarah. She laughed in disbelief. Now she's laughing and rejoicing. Amen. How many of you look at yourself sometime doing some Christian things and go, I'm having a blast doing stuff I used to laugh at people for doing? It's like it's Wednesday night. I'm in church at 8:25. And I used to know Christians used to go to church on Wednesday night at 8:25. And I used to think, what wackos? And here I am, a wacko myself. When you learn the goodness of God, what you used to call crazy, you become. And what you used to call sensible, you now call crazy. Somebody help me preach. Let me tell you something. Sarah's come a long way. And here she is. Listen to this praise of this woman who originally disbelieved God. Notice, God have made me to laugh. She's excited. This is directed worship so that all that hear will laugh with me. Listen to the directed worship of Sarah. Listen to the discerning watch of those around her. God has made me laugh. Every once in a while, you're sitting at home in the middle of the day. No choir, no organ, no message, no sermon, no church congregation. But you stop and think about the goodness of God and you just, ain't God good?
Amen, amen.
And your spouse come in from the other room. What is wrong with you? That laughter, amen. God, listen, God gives new meanings to old words. Sarah's original laughter meant, can God give me a child? After she's grown in the Lord, she's not laughing at can God do it. She's laughing because God did it.
Amen.
Praise his name. You serve God long enough, young people. There'll be some old people in your church that love God. They'll be testifying. You'll be looking at them. Oh, here she go again. You could quote the whole testimony for it. That same thing she stand up and say every, oh my goodness, what's wrong with her? I wish she'd sit down somewhere. And then you get a little bit older and you start tasting and seeing that the Lord is good. And you got people listening. You stand up laughing at you. And you say, I done caught it now. That lady wasn't crazy. That lady had found something that I found. I'm telling you, I'm a witness of it. I grew up in a preacher's home. And you see my mama say, God is so good. God is so good. God is so good. God, I love you. God is so good. You say, why she say that all the time? Now I find myself saying, God is so good. God is so good. God, I love you. Taste and see that the Lord is good. The directed worship, the discerning watch, all those around. You laugh enough about the goodness of God, the other people start laughing with you. Amen. Well, you start shouting about God on your job. For long, you'll start forming a Bible study. By the way, some of you go to work every day and say, I'm the only Christian here. Poor me. I'm the only Christian here. I just feel like I'm so all alone. You try this every once in a while. Try sitting at the desk one day with your Bible open and just, isn't God good? Somebody you didn't even know gonna walk past you're a Christian? Yeah, Me too. Y'all be laughing together. 1 year later, you might have about 6 people laughing. Some Christians never know they're around other Christians because they never laugh out loud. LOL. God help us. My father-in-law thought it meant lots of love. Isn't that what he thought, honey? Yeah, we have a tragedy. He'd be saying, "I'm so sorry for your loss." LOL. We said, "Don't do that." That don't mean lots of love. That ain't funny. What's that when old people try to use young terms? Be messing up stuff. LOL. Sorry your dog died. LOL. I heard the Cowboys got stomped. LOL. Oh my goodness. I tell you, this is Genesis 21. That's Sarah, LOL. Laugh out loud. Don't be embarrassed to let people know you believe God is good. They might start laughing with you. Let me close with this thought, this declared wonder. Who would have said unto Abraham? My granddaddy used to say, he'd run into somebody that in his eyes appeared to be ugly. He'd say their name was Who'd Have Thought It. Well, look at that person right there. That boy right there named Who'd Have Thought It. You know, I guess that's what you say when you look at him. Sarah's giving one of those explanations. She said, "Who'd have thought it? You show me somebody in town. Show me somebody with a bet on the fact that this old woman would be a mama. Ain't that God? Isn't that God? Some of you in the building tonight, who'd have thought it? Look, some of you men, come on now. I know you think you're all that in a bag of chips. But let me tell you something. The fact that beautiful woman that loves the Lord not only married you, but still married to you. Who'd have thought it? What a God. I'll tell you what's happened in churches, why churches are dying. They've lost their wonder of God. We start coming to church. Oh, yeah, we had church. Yeah, I'm used to church. Yeah, God bless. Yeah, the choir sang again. Yeah, we heard preaching. Let me tell you something. You start looking up at God and going, who'd have thought it? You'll have much more joy in your Christian life. God is good, and we ought to taste and see that God is good, and He is faithfully and consistently good. He is everlastingly good, but just because He's been good every single day of our life doesn't mean it ought not still amaze us. He ought to still be a marvelous, matchless, wonderful Savior, and often we ought to thought and say, when I look at my life, when I look back over my life, I can see how you love has guided me. Even though I've done wrong, you never left me alone, but you forgave me and you kept on blessing. This I recall to my mind, therefore I have hope. It is because of your mercy that we are not consumed. Cause thy compassion fail not day anew every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. Great is thy faithfulness. Yeah. I can never repay you, Lord, for all you've done for me. How you loosed my shackles and you set me free. How you made a way out of no way. Turn my darkness into day. You've been my joy in the midst of sorrow. Hope for my tomorrow. Peace in the time of storm. Strength when I'm weak and warm. I can never be. Amen. Amen. Don't act like God's been to you what you deserve. He's a wonderful God. And Sarah, the one who originally doubted, looks at her hubby and goes, who'd have thought my old self would have gave a baby to your older self. What a God. Let's close. Hey, listen to me. I know it feels like it's taking God forever, but due date's coming. It's coming. Wait until it comes, and when it does come, Don't be ashamed to celebrate. He's a good God. Father, we love you. Thank you for being great. Bless us now and use us for thy glory. In Jesus' name, amen.